Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from both the epistle and the gospel lesson. I'd just like to read a few verses of each from 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And from John chapter 15, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Mother's Day is the perfect time to talk about family resemblances. And when you talk about family resemblances, you're talking about physical appearances, but you're also talking about mannerisms and things that you say just like Mom did. What's really interesting is when people pick up mannerisms and language from people that you are not related to, like a close friend. Sometimes you can identify with a friend so strongly that you unconsciously start to imitate each other. Jesus and John had that kind of friendship, and that's reflected in John calling himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's reflected in John taking Jesus' mother, Mary, into his home at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. And it's reflected in the writings that John left to the Christian church. The close relationship between John and Jesus is evident in the way John says things. You can hear Jesus in it. When you compare the epistle lesson and the gospel lesson for today, it's almost as if the same person is talking. It sounds like John has absorbed Jesus' teachings to the point that he speaks with his master's mannerisms. So, it should not shock us too much to learn that what John says is challenging, uncompromising, and truthful, just like Jesus. The resemblance is striking. Just like Jesus, John links love for God with obedience to His commandments. Now that sounds simple. But if you take it seriously, it's pretty provocative. John says, essentially, if you really love God, you will obey Him. And he goes on to say that God's commandments are not burdensome. And you might be thinking to yourself, really? Not burdensome. The command to always love and forgive. Not burdensome, huh? God's command to love others as we do ourselves. Not burdensome? Does John know what he's talking about? Well, don't forget, he was perhaps Jesus' closest friend on earth, and therein lies the key to understanding the link between love and obedience. Like the Apostle John, you and I are invited into friendship with Almighty God. If we think of obeying God's commands in some kind of impersonal way, then we will always get hit with the law. And that is to say, commands are rules. And by nature, we break rules. By nature, we resent when people tell us what to do. We will, however, on occasion, listen to a trusted friend. We'll listen to the perspective of someone whom we know really cares about us. And this is what Jesus is saying to you in the words of John 15. He says, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, "I consider you my friend. I'm not some faceless deity in the sky ordering you around trying to make your life miserable and rob it of fun. I'm your friend who loves you." And Jesus goes on to define for us the greatest test of friendship. "Greater love has no one than this," he says, "that someone lay down his life for his friends." Now, think of some of your best friends, people you love spending time with, the people you've shared so much with, people that you just like being around. Would you die for them? Sometimes, people do just that. Consider the life and death of Marine Corporal Jason Dunham. In April of 2004, while leading patrol of Marines near an Iraqi town near the Syrian border, a nearby Marine convoy was ambushed. Corporal Dunham led his squad to the site of the attack, where he and his men stopped a convoy of cars that was trying to make an escape. As he moved to search one of the vehicles, an insurgent jumped out, grabbed the corporal by the throat. The corporal engaged his enemy in hand-to-hand combat. At one point, he shouted to his fellow Marines, "Watch his hand." And a moment later, a grenade rolled out. Corporal Dunham did not hesitate. He jumped on the grenade to protect his fellow Marines, using his helmet and his body to shield the blast. A friend who was there that day said it like this: "Corporal Dunham had a gift from God. Everyone who came into contact with him wanted to be like him. He was the toughest Marine, but the nicest guy. He would do anything for you." Corporal Dunham was the kind of person everyone wants as their best friend. Despite surviving the initial blast and being given the best medical care, Corporal Dunham succumbed to his wounds. And by giving his own life, Corporal Dunham saved the lives of at least two of his men. You may see where I'm going with this. Jesus can call you his friend because he laid down his life for you. He's proven His friendship to you in the most extreme way possible. Because of our inability to love and obey, we deserve the blast. That's not going to happen. Thanks to a friend who loves so fully that he would voluntarily take the impact himself. He laid down on the cross beam for you. That's friendship. That's love. He did it to claim you as His friend forever. Now, I've had great friends throughout my life who have been very good to me, but they've never done that. They didn't suffer what I should have suffered. They didn't die what should have been my death. Only Jesus did that. Only Jesus could. What a friend we have in Him. And since He has done this for us, since He calls us friends, that changes the whole way we look at obedience. Think again of someone you consider a close friend, if not your best friend. If they ask you to do something, how will you generally respond? Most of the time, you will do whatever you can to help a friend. Even if it means shuffling your schedule or sacrificing some personal time, you'll do it precisely because that person is your friend. You do it. Not out of fear, not out of obligation, but because of a bond of love and friendship. Since Jesus demonstrated His friendship by laying down His life for us, we in turn can call Him our friend. More than that, the Holy Spirit enables us to treat Him as our friend. That means we can come at the concept of obedience in not some kind of detached way, but our response is wrapped up in friendship with the One who paid for our sins with His death. In other words, because Jesus has extended to you His nail-scarred hand of friendship, you can live His way with Him, not out of fear, not out of obligation, but because of a bond of love. Because He is friend and Savior to you. As John writes, His commandments are not burdensome. Now we can see why. Friendship with Jesus transforms ought to into want to and got to into get to, because we know how far He's willing to go to help us. Now, chances are you've never heard of Mike Dunlap, who was an assistant basketball coach at the University of Oregon. We don't have time to recap his career, but there's a comment about him I'd just like to mention that applies to what we're talking about. Dunlap's former athletic director says this about him: he's very demanding of his players, but he would run through a wall for them, and they know that. So they run through walls for him. Do you recognize? Jesus ran through a wall for you He actually went through hell so that when he was done, he could call you his friend. Where does this friend belong in your life? Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us here today to receive your gifts through your word. We trust that your Holy Spirit accompanies that word, and that through that word today we have heard the amazing claim that Jesus calls his disciples, calls each one of us, not simply his servants, but his friends, because he's told us everything. Everything that we need to know in order to have every last sin of ours removed from our record through Jesus' actions, and to trust in Jesus to grant us new life today and life with God that lasts forever. We have a friend who is closer than any brother, a friend who would die for us and who has died for us and taken up his life again, so that we never need fear death in the grave. What a friend we have in your Son, our Savior Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, you've given us the privilege of speaking to him in prayer. Help us in every way to joyfully obey and live in the commands that he's given us. This we pray in your powerful name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.